was out of the scenario, and the companies were working in parallel. But business change, of course, you need to start trying to make money. And as they move on with a new release, like another one really important, me personally, I never saw my MySQL 4.0 versions. This is something in history I couldn't even find in binaries or whatever. And as we can see, like really common things we do nowadays, like unions, we'll select star something, union, select something. It was not present by that time. So technology was evolving. And convey to remember, hardware was also evolving. So by 2000 and something, we already started seeing the first hyper-threading multi-core CPUs, right? So what we had there by that time, as Simon was saying, MyISON. MyISON is not a transactional engine. So every write that you do on the database, you need to block, right? So anyone can write, it's table level lock. You can read in parallel, but as you see, when you have more cores, you're wasting hardware resources because you cannot scale, right? And that's when InnoDB come to play. Our DAOs continue to evolve, and then we can see B3s, R3s, subqueries, and prepared statements. So it starts to get more familiar to what we see nowadays. Although I didn't participate of this scenario yet. Like my experience starts with my MySQL 5 version. So as we move along, on 2005, we see 5.0 version, and Oracle buys InnoBase company, right? So if we get that Marvel, what if, imagine if MySQL AB, because MySQL tried to buy InnoBase, how different things would be? We can't know how predict. By that time, they were trying to make money with it. And in terms of ecosystem, And word facts, we have the foundation of Percona. Whoever heard about Percona here? Okay, good month. So it was founded by Vadim and Peter Zaitsev. Basically, like Percona provides a fork, completely open source as well, for MySQL, Postgres, and MongoDB. MongoDB is not open source. We need to inherit the license, right? So we cannot change. And things that were going, in my opinion, to change how we see cloud computing is the release of the first AWS becomes public, right? So in a few buttons, you can deploy a virtual machine EC2 container and start working. So you can see how things were starting to get difficult for how MySQL was designed by that time. Like we had MyISON, we had query caching, that it was a good solution by that time because you had it was a bottleneck, but had a single CPU, so things were working fine. Had multiple threads, but now you have several CPU cores trying to process, and the old style of CPU of query caching was a point of contention, right? So they started deprecating things. And on 2008, another move, Sun Microsystems acquires MySQL AB. And this is like where I start working with MySQL. So I had the opportunity to work with 5.1 MySQL. And we have some really cool release like event scheduler, role-based replication, things that were going to be improved. By the way, role-based replication is something, it is the default nowadays. There is a good chance. I think it's already deprecated statement and will probably be removed in newer versions. And the point of that causes like the most hot discussions nowadays, it is 2010. Oracle will say 2009, where I saw Alfred's presentation. But from what I see, the deal was closed on 2010. This is my reference. I can be wrong. But this is what Postgres guys will say. Ah, but you guys are like, you have a company behind it, we are democratic, we are open source, we are like whatever, and that's what caused a lot of discussion. For the good and for the bad, now we have the mothership Oracle. And At the same time, Oracle acquired Sun Microsystems. I'm not sure in the same day, but in the same year for sure, Mont released MariaDB, right? There was a lot of concern about how Oracle would deal with MySQL if they would stop providing features, like the project would end up dying because of obsolescence or become like not open source anymore. This is the first version that it is released under Oracle's hood. So 5.5, it comes with them. It is a version that I worked a lot, and I think 2 months ago, we got a customer trying to get out from there. So, yeah. And as someone said, like, it's really difficult because I think that apart from the dump, like, you have nothing that you can utilize, right? Like, it's really different. One more thing for those who works with MariaDB or are planning to go or get out. MariaDB changed a lot. I think there was the MariaDB days on Saturday. It continues to be a great database, but we can say for sure that it's not MySQL anymore. You cannot simply copy and paste the data. It's kind of like, I dare to say, like moving from Oracle to Postgres, right? Apart from the table structures and everything, you need to analyze case by case what you are going to do. On 2013, 5.6 is released. I like this version as well, not much as I like 5.7, but they already introduced the performance schema. Performance schema, it provides some metrics and some views about what's going on inside MySQL. It has not a lot of metrics that you could see. 5.7 exploded this universe. When you go to 8, you have like thousands, you know, to monitor there with performance schema. But it was a good version. Like, it worked, I liked it. It was quite stable. And another important fact here, again, we already had like a common place for cloud computing. Google was giving its try, Amazon as well, and then Kubernetes became a thing. At first with non-stateful sets, but nowadays like people are trying. We had, I forgot the guy that did the presentation, that they are running Ubuntu, Canonical, they are running databases on Kubernetes. It is also a very hot topic. If you ask some engineers, they will love it. Others will say they will never do this. I also...
Could you repeat their advice?
Huh?
Could you repeat Mohamed's advice from Canonical?
Yeah, well... So, yeah, like, I would say if you want to run in Kubernetes, my opinion is, yeah, do it for QA if you want to give your developers something to test and everything. For production, maybe, like, I don't know, if you have 1,000, 2,000 databases, maybe you can think of it, but don't put, like, a 3-terabyte database on Kubernetes, like, SST process and everything. Auto-scale, like if you expand your auto-scaling from 2 to 5, like it's 15 terabytes running your cluster to build new nodes. So I don't like it. One more thing, 5.7 is released with JSON data type. I think it is cool because when I started putting all the facts together, Postgres was also working on their JSON structure. And the thing is, by that time, when you look at the Bay Engine's ranking, MongoDB was climbing really fast. So people were saying, okay, we need our JSON or document store solution because we have some, you know, someone trying to catch our market. And you see like how things were moving in that direction. At the same time, ProxySQL is released, ProxySQL from René Canal. Basically, ProxySQL for, who knows ProxySQL? Okay. It's a layer 7 proxy, so it is intelligent in terms of it speaks the MySQL language, so it understands the query, it can rewrite, can route. If I'm not mistaken, MySQL router is layer 4, like 3? Okay, so yeah, ProxySQL has its benefits as well. Another open source tool that's part of the ecosystem. On 2016, by that time, like group replication was released. it was going to be the future of InnoDB cluster. I had the chance to test a group replication with MySQL 5.7, and it was really not a mature product. It had several performance issues. It was really easy to make it crash. And we see by that time what I see why they released Galera replication. Galera cluster was something that was really on the moment. It was really stable. So I think they were trying to get this piece of market with the cluster. But even nowadays, Galera cluster remains a strong solution. Percona makes the fork for it with Percona ExtraDB cluster, MariaDB as well. And even if you go, at least when I spoke with the Oracle guys in Brazil, they don't mention a lot the group replication 5.7 because I think it's the ugly baby they had and they don't want to mention. Like, things got better on MySQL 8. As we move, as I said, group replication is released, and then it comes MySQL 8, right? It is a version that I like as well because I think they brought really good improvements. For example, you have now a complete redesign of the Redo log. You can scale it. You can change the size online, right? So you don't need to restart database. Prior to that, you need to do it. You have atomic DDLs. I think it's really important because if you are running, I don't know, your automated deploys and you are doing create, drops, add index, you don't know if everything worked, right? Because like it's not atomic. By this, what you mean, you can do a begin, run all your sets of DDLs and commit, or you can do all or nothing. Like, it gives you way more previsibility. Dictionary became transactional. It went inside the InnoDB, right? And also they brought the instant algorithm. By instant, you can do some DDLs where like you only change the metadata. So it's not necessary like to rebuild the table or something like that. It was a bit problematic at first, but then it got better, right? Another big thing that came, ChatGPT was released on 2022. Probably what you see in most of FOSDEM, like as this presentation has some AI, something, everything you see, a touch of AI, we are all talking about of it. NVIDIA lost a few billions last week, do it through DeepSeek. But still, it's a hot topic, it's coming. And this is also influencing Oracle, right? The same next year, they release HeatWave on their public, on their Oracle Cloud. HeatWave has some Gen AI features on that. I personally never tested. I need to take a look. In terms of concurrency, Postgres 16 was released. So also Postgres bringing some vector search, trying to bring some AI as well, right? And one more thing, like on 2004, we get 8.4 release, right? As Simon was saying, just to go a bit more deeper on that, from I don't remember when in year, Oracle changed the release model. So now we have two types of releases, stable releases and innovation releases, as he was saying. So what was happening with MySQL 8 is you were working happily. The next version, you had a completely new Redo log with new parameters and like how your automation broke down. So we started complaining in Oracle. Listen to the community, changed. So MySQL 8 and 8.4 are the current stable release. This means that only bug fixes are coming. You have a more predictable behavior. And like MySQL 9 and 9.1, I think at the moment 9.2 are innovation release. So deprecated features can get out of the code without warning. And new features can come, right? I think it is good for you to anticipate, to test, of course, but in production, unless you have a very fast team that can adapt really quickly and evolve, I would say to remain on stable releases and wait for the next one to come. I think it was a missed opportunity because from what I see, MySQL version 10 will come as innovation. And I think 10 is a round number. They should release as a stable. But yeah, like I don't know what marketing we're thinking on that. And then here we are at FOSDEM 2025, talking about GenAI and MySQL. Personally, like I like where we are heading, but what about the future? So I got some testimonials from people that are influent in the community. So I got one bad, one okay, one optimistic. We all know like Peter likes to rant a bit. So he has concerns on how the ecosystem of MySQL is going because Oracle is putting a lot of effort in their cloud, right? They're putting the cool features are going to OCI first. As Simon mentioned, Hypergraph exists, but you need, you know, to enable the feature by yourself. So Peter is a bit concerned with that. MariaDB brought, Mark Callahan did some tests. He's quite happy with Vector. It's not Vector plugin, it's not sure it's Vector engine, but from MariaDB is really fast. So this is the testimonial from Peter, right? I also had the opportunity to get from Sinisa. He's a developer of Oracle. He has 26 years of Oracle. He saw everything in life. He's the employee number two of MySQL AB. And he likes it nowadays because of platforms like HeatWave. So on one side, people don't like it. But if you really are not attached to license, you just need your product to run and make it profitable. HeatWave, RonDB, you have like several things going on in the ecosystem, right? And last, from Monsieur Lefred, which is here. Also, good things that existed in the past, like I think it's the community feeling. I think FOSDEM, because conferences are quite over for now. Percona Live doesn't exist anymore, so one of his best memories was from Percona Live Santa Clara. For me, that I came later, for me it's FOSDEM. I like to come here for the Belgian days, share the 2 days of intensive like sessions, then community dinner. I think it's really nice. And, well, he signed an NDA, so he can't say anything, but I like the positivity, so I hope that good things are coming. It's just a matter of time, so we wait and see. What I would like to see, maybe in MySQL, it's some performance improvements, like Postgres was elected the database of the year in the last 3 years consecutively. MySQL was elected back in the past, so we have a huge base of a community. But I think that we must catch up with some performance improvements when compared to Postgres, right?
Next session.
Okay, cool. So you'll hear about it. So I think that's it. I think it was more a relaxing session rather than we will continue with the technical sessions now later. Do you guys have any questions? Or if not, I would like to say thank you for being the 30 years edition. It's really special to me. I love it. And I hope to see you next time.
Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you.
You can add that many people don't know, but MySQL is GPL.
Ah, yes.
Make it clear. Thank you.